What's going on, everybody? It's your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 80. And I got a special guest on the show today. I got my boy Prez P, man. How you doing, dog?
What it is, man? What's good, homie?
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for having me, for sure.
Nah, man. Thank you for coming on the show, man. I know you got a busy schedule and everything, and you know you grinding and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the people that don't know about you, you know, of course Miami know about you. You know, Florida.
They better.
You know what I'm saying? But introduce yourself a little bit.
Yo, man. It's Prez P, man. North Miami's own Dade County representative, man. I'm out here. You already know, man. If you don't know, Google me. I'm here, man. Get on that iTunes and search Prez P. I'm here.
Exactly, man. That's what's up.
And you picked the perfect place to do this.
Yeah, man. It's Pines, boy.
Right.
But, tell us about the beginners. Like, what made you want to get into, like, music?
Oh, man. Since I was a kid, I always was in church choirs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, since it's shorty. And it always was like me and my homeboys from my childhood years. And we used to be in the back, church bus, freestyling, clowning, you know what I'm saying? Hip hop was always like influential in our life. Like how we dressed, how we talked, you know, how we talked to girls,
right.
You know, the things we got into. So freestyling was always big to us, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we would always freestyle. And this before we was the camp, you know, now it's the camp, it's a whole thing. But this before we was all that, I'm talking like fifth grade, I knew I was going to be some kind of artist, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it wasn't going to be singing, it was going to be rapping. Like, you feel me? Now it's kind of both. So it played out. But I don't know, it just started, it started getting serious like after like high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we started recording our own shit, like recording at the crib, recording on the computer at the crib and putting stuff on MySpace and putting stuff on the internet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Freestyles, like just to regular people beats and ripping beats off YouTube and getting beats off LimeWire and shit like that. And then people really started like, they went from like our friends liking our music to our friends telling their friends about our music.
Yeah.
And then like a fan base just began to, it started to grow. And as that happened, we started taking rap more and more serious. Like, we started really going to the studios, really shooting music videos, really doing shit with PR, like paying for PR and putting our money into this music thing. And then,
actually, I was already educated.
Yeah, like, cause I'm telling you, like, getting into this music thing, I always paid attention, like, to what everybody was doing, like, as far as like when I was a kid, like paying attention to labels like No Limit and Cash Money, then Rockefeller, and then Rap-A-Lot. You know what I'm saying? Like peeping how, you know, real street niggas was taking that money and putting it into this music, because it was a music itself was a hustle. You feel me? Like you could really get this bread. And then with the internet coming into play, where you could put a song out and the whole world could hear it, it became a whole nother ball game. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we were putting out music at the same time as the internet taking off. So we peeped what it was, and we just like, we was in it already, so we had to just adjust to what was going on, you know what I mean? And once you start getting like, when we got our first like music check, like, you know what I'm saying, off of ASCAP, BMI, man, it was over with. Like, we just started pumping out songs, pumping out albums, pumping out videos, just giving them hella content. Because at the same time as the fan base was growing, I'm growing as an artist. You feel me? And the group is growing as artists. And then around 2012, I broke off and did my own thing, started putting out my own solo projects. And, like, I just haven't turned back since then.
Who was all in the group?
It was, like, seven of us. It was my boy Jeff, he was Amani J. Benton, he was Lucci. Faye, he was Rari. Zito, he was Gums. Paco, Jay Benjamins, and me. Yeah, he was the seven rappers. And then G-Wagon Gutter was, like, our same group of friends, and they became our managers. Luke, Uncle Luke, the videographer that do all my videos, him and Mark my words, they just became our camera guys, you know what I'm saying? Just picking up trades, like everything we do, like even down to the producers I rock with, like it's all self-taught in a sense, because we wanted to do it, but we had no knowledge of it. We didn't go to school for it, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like a team thing, and it's always been, and it still is, you feel me? And now it's just like more of a focus on me. It's all, you know what I mean? I'm just dropping.
That's what's up. So y'all was like the Wu-Tang, like the Miami, you know what I'm saying?
We was getting that. When we started doing shows, people started calling us like on that Wu-Tang tip, like, because it really was like eight of us, seven of us, you know what I mean? And the fact of it is like we all didn't go to the same high school, but we from the same hoods.
Right.
You feel me? Like North Miami, you know. So going to different high schools, we was able to like really spread our music quick to our friends, cause you know it's 5-6 different schools between us, so the knowledge spread about us. And then when we got to our college ages, we was just going to all the colleges, college parties, and just pumping it up. Then we got our own crib with a pool in the back. It was over with. We started throwing pool parties every week.
Yeah, I seen the videos on your YouTube, bro, man. So like, because I was discussing this with, you know, because we were around the same age, like 27, 28 years old. I was explaining to people, like, around that time, that was when Miami was starting to pump up a lot of new talent, you know, underground. Like, underground around that time from, like, I guess from, I could say from 06 to, like, 2010.
Yeah.
Was, like, to me, a lot of people may not know. I want to document it one day. Like, we should all just come together and do it, but that was one of the greatest times ever, because you know, you had people like yourself, you had Iceberg, you had C-Rod, you had Flo Rida Briscoe, you had all these cats come out at that time. And like that was before like social media was social media. Like we only had what, MySpace? Facebook wasn't even out back in the day like that.
Literally. And then the clubs, that's when clubs was really, really important. Because it was, that's when everybody was getting together. Like, even before I had music out, those guys you named, I was watching them really do it. But they was doing it from their standpoint. And, like, even then, like, just like we was just talking earlier, how it's different lanes in Miami.
Right.
I was already seeing all these lanes developing, you feel me? And all these young cats coming up, I was seeing all of it happening, like, on the low. Just being around music and, like, being around all these studios. And it's usually, like, people say Miami got, like, a crab in a barrel mentality. But, like, we all came up together and was rocking with each other. You know what I'm saying? And still to this day, niggas still rock with each other and support each other in different ways. You know what I mean?
I think what it is, though, a lot of us got, like, a lot of circles. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, when I think about you, I think about, like, Zoe Dollars and the Denzel Currys and stuff. Like, you know, when I think about the Iceberg, I think about, like, the Dunt Riders. I think about, like, the C-Rods. The, you know, you got the Billy Blues and you got the Ball Greasers and stuff like that. Like, I think at the end of the day, you know, growing up in Miami, we always had that. People, I tell people all the time, like, out of town is, like, it's a day of time you'll see, like, the real Southern hospitality that we truly have. But, you know, at a certain time during the day, like, we just want to be around our homies, around people that we familiar
with. Family,
You know what I'm saying?
Florida's, it is, like, it is very family-oriented. And I think it's because we a melting pot. Like, it's so much culture here that you could be comfortable in your culture, you feel me? Like, if you a Zoe, you could be comfortable with Zoes all day long in Miami. If you're Spanish, you could be comfortable with Spanish people all day. And it kind of do stick you to that. But we do definitely, like, got to intertwine it more and rock with each other more. And that's that's what's been happening, but it's a slow process, you know what I mean?
But I think that's what you see with, like, the little pumps and the smoke perks and stuff, like, with the Kodaks. Like, you see the younger ones, you know, they 19, 21, they under 25. And, like,
That's their influence.
Yeah, like, you get the reach out to them, they got, like, 50, 60,000 followers, but they easier to reach than most, you know, most artists and stuff, you know, nowadays, because they really want to,
engage, it's a different era. Like, it's so easy to see what your artist doing all day. So to be able to connect with them is not that hard for real. You
Right.
Be a DM away off rip.
Right.
It's dope.
So can you explain to, like, the artists what we had to go through? Because we like the bridge. Because, I mean, we was around when the internet was at its fullest, but social media wasn't really, we only had MySpace. And then I think SoundCloud came out not too long after that. So, like, it was a ground. Like, it ain't how it is right now. Like, it's easier. Like, for me, like, doing this podcast, I'm reaching out to people that I never thought I could reach out to, you know what I'm saying?
That's the beauty of it. Yeah, that's the beauty of it.
So explain like the times where the challenges and stuff like that.
I mean, for sure, always, like since back then, especially like 2012, mm-hmm. it wasn't a lot of outlets. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't a lot of publication. We had remember the 305.com?
Mm-hmm.
That was the shit. Like, they used to look out a lot. Ashley Outrageous, mm-hmm. she was around at that time. It was like two dope bitches, Norma now, she do her shit now. And it wasn't that, other than that, it wasn't too much that you had, like, as far as, like, internet presence of blogs, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. from down here. And then it wasn't as much show opportunities as it was, mm-hmm. like, it wasn't that many venues. Then out of nowhere, mm-hmm. small venues started becoming in places, like, mm-hmm. things like Grand Central, LMNT, the Stage, mm-hmm. like, small venues, Bardot. They all gone now.
Yeah, RIP the Grand Central.
All four of those places are gone now. Yeah, you feel me? And, like, at the time, that's all we had, bro. Like, you had a show, yeah, everybody pull up. And shit was getting packed out. Mm-hmm. And that's what made, like, a lot of people see shit was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And for other artists to really see, yeah, hell yeah, Press B did this shit. No, we gonna do this shit. We can do this shit bigger. We can do some other shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always supportive. It was never, like, no hate about the shit. Like,
right.
yeah, let's get it, nigga. Like, if you gonna do something, I'm gonna pull up.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled each other up. Mm-hmm. I remember doing that show, the New Miami show. We put that together. It was mm-hmm. a girl, Cheyenne. She had put that together with G-Wag, Gunner, my boys, mm-hmm. and Ransom Note. It was like a whole bunch of artists. Iceberg performed. That was like one of the biggest shows, like underground shows that had happened
mm-hmm.
at the time before we had Rolling Out, before we had all these new shows that's popping now. So
mm-hmm.
I know when that happened, that shit brought a lot of niggas together for sure. And then it was like cyphers all the time that was mm-hmm. happening. Bel Air Academy used to have cyphers. There was a spot on 27th right by the tattoo shop.
Yeah, I remember that.
That shit used to be popping. Man, I don't know. It was a grind though, but it was dope when you look back at it, because look at it now. It's so different now. You know what I mean?
I think now, because when I think about it, like, now you're starting to see with the podcast era, like, you know, you have other podcasters that's coming up now. So
hell yeah.
A lot of people trying to, you know, they trying to follow the trend, but back 5 years ago, like, it was dope to go to, like, even, like, little, art and rap, like, pop-ups and stuff like that. Like, we need to try to bring that back. Like, I know some people is doing it, but we really need to bring that back, because it really...
They bring that diversity.
Yeah, that diversity, and also as an artist, you have that easy reach to like your fans and stuff to engage, so they can really be like, you know, like you said earlier, they can go out and tell their cousins and them, yeah. like, man, this artist dope, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's how
right
start.
Up on the phone. 1, 2, 3. I'm telling you, the internet the greatest thing that ever happened, though. I ain't gonna lie. That shit is a gift and a curse though, mm-hmm. low key, because you can self-destruct on the internet
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yeah,
but
man.
The reach of the internet is dope. It's dope as hell.
So who was your influences growing up?
My biggest, I think, was Lil Wayne. Like, rapping wise, like, Wayne was always like a big influence. I think every time Wayne dropped music, like, he was one of the first artists I could say. Like, every time he dropped a freestyle, it was like I was right on time. I caught it every time it came out. Like,
right.
I knew when shit was coming. When them squad tapes was coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, Gangsta Grills.
Yeah, Gangsta Grills tapes, everything. Wayne, one of the most consistent. Like, Wayne, Gucci Man, mm-hmm. like, people like them. But, like, Pac, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in my life, Jay-Z became big to me. Wiz, Currency.
Yeah.
Jeezy, I love Jeezy growing up too, because coming up listening to Jeezy, just the motivation behind it was always big. I don't know, bro, like, even before that, like, Twista, as far as my flow, like, fast rap, Twista, Do or Die, Phil Mob, Outkast.
Yeah, of course, Phil Mob, Outkast.
You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as molding me as a rapper, you feel me?
Nah, because before the podcast, like, I was saying earlier, like, you remind me of Currency. Like,
hell
you
yeah.
literally, like, the Currency of Miami. Like,
yeah.
you know so many.
I respect Currency so much, bro.
Yeah, it's like, you know so many people, and you've mm-hmm. been in it for a long time. People don't realize that, like, outside looking in.
Yeah.
But it's like you low-key. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just vibing, you know what I'm saying?
I be high. I be in my own vibe, bro. Like, yeah. I love like, interacting with people, too. You feel me? Most artists, they be standoffish, you know what I mean? And I give that off sometimes, too. If you look at me at first, you ain't gonna think, like, you gonna have a conversation with me. You feel me?
Yeah, but I think that's a Florida thing, but
yeah, yeah, you feel me? So, but I like meeting people, and I like traveling. So, when I be out in these different states and countries, I be talking to people for real, like, just to get a grip of, like, what kind of person you are, how you ended up being this way, like, what made you this way, like, because we all, it's all relative, bro. We all going through the same shit everywhere, you feel me? So, I just be trying to just interact with people, because it helps, too, with the music. Like, that's why my music could touch so much people, because I put so much into it, where, like, the average five people going to rock to something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they going to pick up something in it and like it. You know what I mean?
So, what you think about the music scene down here in Miami, well, Florida in particular? But like, you know, you said earlier, like, you know, we have different sounds.
Yeah.
Like, you remember back in the day, we had the jerkin, you had the bass music, then you had the ones that had like the trap, the, you know, the storytelling.
Yeah.
What you think about the music scene now?
The music scene now is raw. There's way more artists now. I feel like, and it's diverse as hell, and that's what make it raw, because like I said, Florida's a melting pot. It's so much culture here, like, it's not just one nationality of people here. It's so many kind of people here, so for the music to be able to reflect that is dope. Like, we can have like five artists from the same hood, they all gonna sound the same but different. They all gonna give you a different vibe, even if we speak in the same lingo, cause you know Florida got their own lingo, so like, we raw like that. So For where it is now, I love it, because you got to do like Ball Greasy, for example. Like, Nice and Slow was on Billboard Top 100. The fact that it broke into that, like, me and my boy, who I just dropped a tape with, PB Large, with Smoke Session, we were saying that, like, the Miami sound of today is accepted. Ball Greasy put it out there. Like, he went on Billboard. You got Kodak going platinum. You know what I mean? Kodak got hella plaques. You got city girls going crazy, like, influencing damn near a girl in every city. Like, they rocking with them. So, then you got cats like Denzel Curry, who's a signed artist, but still underground because of how he came up.
Right.
So, he still moved underground as hell. But the niggas worldwide, like, traveling the world. Like, I've been to Europe with him on his tour. So, I know, like, firsthand of seeing how influential he is, like, white boys, white girls, black kids, you know what I'm saying, all kind of races.
He got like a heavy cult following.
Yeah, you feel me? And it's the same for cats like Lil Pump and Smoke Perp and all of them, and RPX.
Yeah.
And like, people like that, like, they different. It's so much versatility, like, and that's raw to be a part of it, because I got my own vibe too. Like how you say, I got that currency vibe, like that smoker vibe, that laid back. But I'm from Miami, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I've been compared to Devin the Dude, Snoop Dogg.
Devin the Dude, too,
like, you feel me? And they all from different places.
Yeah, like,
currency,
even,
like,
even, like, the, like, people like Devin the Dudes and, like, the currencies and, like, the E-40s, like, JT Money's, like, I consider them, like, that mainstream, but they still underground.
Yeah, because like, they got that fan base that really grew with them. You know what I mean? And that's like always been my goal, like with my music. Like I've done some dope shit musically, like been in movies and shit like that. Like I got my songs in movies, but I still don't feel like I'm there yet. You know what I mean? I'm humble as hell, but I still don't feel like I'm there yet. Like I still got so much more I know I'm gonna do and I know I can do. So when dope shit happen, I just be sitting back. I'm still laid back about it, cause I know tomorrow some crazier shit might go down. You feel me?
Hell yeah.
And then like, I'm representing Florida to the T, bro. Like, you look everywhere I go, they know I'm from Florida.
Yeah.
From my hair to how I talk. Like, I don't know, it's something about it. You know, I carry myself like Florida, cause I always felt like, and I still do now, and it's being proven now, that Florida is, like, it's, and the fact that it's so new, this is definitely a true statement. Like, Florida niggas can make it anywhere. Like, we can be accepted anywhere. So when our music reflects Florida in a certain way, it's gonna boom. You know what I mean?
We can relate there.
Yeah. And then everybody wanna be here, low key. Not even to toot the horn of Miami, but it's a hot spot. You feel me? Like, if you ask anybody anywhere what's the top 10 places they wanna visit, Miami gonna be a part of that list.
Yeah.
And then us, like, that tourism culture, that fast cars, fast life, club, bad bitches culture that Florida got, that Miami got.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep it out your music. It influences you no matter what. You feel me? Like, I got songs that could get played in the strip club, but it's not a strip club song.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's
just a vibe of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or just the beat of it. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I was raised on dunk culture, like, rattling trunks. Like, I remember being at the crib and listening to my music in the crib, and I hear somebody car outside louder than my music in the crib, and I go outside and the nigga trunk rattling, the girl sitting on the back of his trunk, homies outside drinking Hennessy, chilling on the car, you know what I mean? And that shit always stuck with me. Like, when I get this bread, I'm gonna have a vert too. Like,
that's what I want. Like, I was telling my wife, she's like, you too damn Florida. But like I said, she's from she was born in Manhattan, New York, but she was raised down here for a while.
Yeah.
But I was telling her, like, straight up, when I get, like, when I make it, I don't want, like, the Mercedes Benz and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I said I want a Camaro, like, souped up, and I want an old school Vert.
Got to.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna have a Vert. I like Porsches, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's just look of Porsches. I fuck with Porsches heavy, so I'm gonna have probably, like, a Porsche for every day of the week type shit.
Yeah, more.
I definitely gonna have the old school cars, the muscle cars, the Verts, you know what I'm saying, the Caprice, the, you know what I mean? Got to. The Monty. It's old school money with us now. We got a 87.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So, like, how did it feel to have your song, The Moonlight?
Having played that funk in there was dope because, for one, like, it did so much for me and Travis Bow. Like, Travis Bow from Bahamas, so, like, you already know what it is. It ain't too different. It's island, you know what I mean? Travis, like, my bro, so for us to get in a movie like that, and then for the movie to do so much, to do so big, get Oscars, and it was nominated for, like, 92 awards or something like that all together.
Yeah, crazy.
And, like, it was best picture that year, you know what I mean? And then the fact that it represented Florida so well, too, in the movie, it's like, it was perfect. It felt good as hell because I went to the same movie that I always go to to see a movie and hear myself in a movie. Mm. You know what I mean? And for that movie to be based out of Florida and all shot in Florida and have the whole idea of Florida in it, what else would it have been if somebody listening to music in Florida in a movie? So, it gotta be a Miami artist or somebody. So for it to be me was amazing because, come on, bro.
So how was the process? Like, did they, like, you reach out to them? Did they reach out to you?
Nah, I got reached out to. I heard it was conversations happening before about it, and somebody brought me up to them, and then I got an email from the music supervisor of the movie saying they was doing a movie based out of Florida. They saw my video for Play That Funk, and they liked the song, and they felt like it was perfect. Like, shit, let's get it. You know what I mean? And 3 months later, paperwork done, checks cleared, everything good, and the movie out. Shit has not stopped since then, and now it's about to come out on Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
So that's like, it's crazy. Like, when it happened, I started meeting a lot of people that do, like, film and music and film and music and HBO.
It's like
and
a whole nother world.
It's a whole nother world, and it's crazy. Like, you would think that was on my mind the whole time of getting my music in movies, but it never had been something that crossed my mind. And I don't know how it even slipped my mind as an artist. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I never thought, like, what do we got to do to get in movies? You know what I mean? Like, at that time, I just wasn't thinking like that. And now, since then, I've been working towards doing it more and more, and I've been getting a lot more looks. So I've been meeting people. Like, every time I met somebody, it was like my eyes opening even more. You know what I mean? Like, damn, this is a whole nother world. And it's like people telling me, like, yo, you know, this is forever, bro. Like, you really, like, it's bigger than putting an album out that do good. You're in a movie that did amazing, like, the best. Like, it was the best picture of that year. Every year that they go back, they're comparing to that movie. So it's gonna keep growing. And then when they told me that, I believed it. But damn, to really see it, like, I watched the movie develop. I watched it come out. I watched it do good in the first box office. Then it went nationwide. Then it went worldwide. Tokyo, Japan. Like, it was everywhere. Then now it's coming to Netflix. It's like, it's not stopping. And then it's going to end up coming to TV, getting on network. And then it's still not stopping. Like, I'm tied to that movie. My music is signed to that movie. I own my publishing. So as big as that movie get, that's as big as I'm going to get, too.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
so when it first came out and stuff, you was chilling? Like, you wasn't, like, inside, like, damn, like, I'm, like, I know it's levels, but I made it. You know,
all right, like, before it came out, it got, like, a 99 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so I seen it, yeah.
I was like, damn, this shit about to be big. Like, but on the real, I wasn't thinking money. I wasn't thinking fame. I was really just thinking, damn, this movie probably dope, for real.
It is.
Because as far as just getting that type of acclaim, you feel me? And it happened again with Florida Project. They got another 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. So, like, my homie that's in the film world, he was telling me, boy, we're going to change your name to Prez 99 on Rotten Tomatoes P. Because you getting them. And, like, both of those movies were dope as hell. Like, it's always meaning behind them, man. Just like in my music, I want to have meaning in it. I want something that's going to last. It's the same with film. And to me, film is bigger than music.
It is. Like, yeah, it's universal.
It's a way bigger industry. And, like, people are more drawn to movies than there are music. Like, to me, I feel like, and every movie has music in it. So it go hand in hand, you know what I mean? And just as big as hip hop is for this past 40 something years, like, film is just as big, like, even bigger, you know what I mean? It's been going for hundreds of years.
Yeah, like, with
theater, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you know, you just lost a legend, John Singleton.
Yeah, dog.
You know, like,
crazy.
That was crazy. Like, you know, Boys in the Hood. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, honestly, I didn't even know he directed Too Fast, Too Furious. I was young.
Oh, John Singleton's big, bro. Yeah. Like, that's how it be, though. They be getting commissioned to do, like, they have an eye. Like, just like how an engineer has an ear, a producer has an ear, and the industry gonna keep tapping into that ear. Oh, we need you right now. Boy, you had the summer lock last year. Yeah. We need that. It's the same in film.
But that's, but, like, learn that. I tell people, like, all the time, like, Too Fast, Too Furious was my favorite movie because... Not because it was hell, but it showed everything of Miami life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I felt like, damn, like, it made sense that he directed it, because he's the type of director that want to show everything about
the city.
Yeah, he
going to take the veil off. Yeah. Just like with Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, Boys in the Hood, that's top 5, top 10 movies of all time.
And all he did was show the culture of L.A. Like, in the 80s, 90s. Like, if that movie never came out, so much influence would be missing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people wouldn't have an idea of what a West Coast guy looked like without that movie. Like, honestly, like, it's so much reach that a film does, bro. Like, it's crazy. Rest in peace, though.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, man. So, like... You know, explain to, like, especially up-and-coming artists, you know, just people in general, the importance of networking and the importance of branding yourself.
Man, it's big. Like, when you out and about, this is my niece calling me. When you out and about, man, just really touching base with people in the room, like, that is really important. Like, I've been around, like, really powerful people in my life. Like, bigger than life people in they fields, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's from like soccer players that been in plenty World Cups, you know what I'm saying? Or a politician or a lawyer that represented a big case. Like, I done met cool people. And no lie, a lot of it is like, I gotta thank the weed, you know, low key. Like, weed, it bring people together a lot. Yeah. So that's kind of like the way it always mostly happens for me. Like, I'm in a place, I'm at something that one of my managers told me I had to go to, you know what I mean? Something I'm not used to being at. You know, trying something new, like, and meeting, like, I'm there. Once you put yourself in a new place, like, your energy is gonna attract people that's like you or interested in you, or just they'll see you and be like, I just wanna see what this guy doing or what this guy about. He's so different. Like, what is he here for? What is he doing here? You know what I'm saying? And as that's happening to me, I'm looking around the room too, like, who this is and who that is, and I'm scaling the room. Every time you meet somebody, you walk away from that conversation a little bit smarter, like, a little bit more up on things. You just met somebody else. Like, it's literally like you and a famous person is six people in between y'all. That's 6 degrees of separation. Like, that's real. I really do believe in that. So networking, it got me this far. We would never be at this table if we didn't walk up on each other one day. You know what I'm saying? So you got to talk to people. You can't really be, like, standoffish. You can't be off to yourself, because you never know what somebody got for you, what game somebody got, you know what I mean, what somebody been through or what they could teach you, you feel me?
Yeah, like, you know, I tell people all the time, like, 10 years ago, I never thought I'd be even wanting to have, like, a podcast, you know, get a media and stuff like that. But it was just one day, I was just like, you know what, like, I'm always been good with networking, like, over, like, you know, social media and internet and stuff like that. And even, like, in school and stuff like that. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, like, The main place that I learned how to network was school, like since elementary school, you know what I'm saying? So
true.
It's like, you know, just networking with different people and just to reach these people that's like, they might not even be like, you know, the most famous person or whatever, but they're like the engine behind it, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy how, like, you know, like you said earlier, like the internet and social media is it's a great tool, and like you just meet so many dope people and stuff that, and like, you know, you was talking about weed and stuff like that. Like, I don't smoke weed, but I've seen like the what you talked about, like
the effect of it.
I feel like weed, wine, lemon pepper chicken, and sports like really bring people together. You know what I'm saying? Like the draft was just this past weekend, and like it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like you see all them fans and stuff just. Different teams too, different places, but there ain't no fights, no nothing.
Never. Know what I'm saying? If you put out good energy, it's gonna come back to you too. So if you go out in a place and like you the nervous type, you the shy type, that's what you're gonna get. You're gonna be off to yourself and you're gonna do that to yourself. Nobody gonna wanna come up to you and talk to you. You like you quiet, you know what I'm saying? But if you walk in with that energy, you bubbling, you got a bubbling spirit, like it's gonna attract other people that's similar to you, you know what I mean? And that's really just what it's about, just find the similarities in different people, you know what I mean? And that's what keep people together. That's the nets, that bridge, the bridge between, you know what I mean, here and there. So it's always been important. You gotta make yourself a people person, no matter what. The only way you really gonna advance.
Yeah, because even if you're not a friendly person, you still gotta. If you wanna go to the next level,
you gotta rub shoulders, man. Got to. You never gonna get nowhere doing it by yourself.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then in one of your interviews, you talked about, you know, the late great Nipsey, you know, R.I.P. to Nipsey, how he influenced you and stuff like that. Like, a lot of us, you know, Pac and Biggie done, you know, we was babies pretty much.
Yeah, I was young, but I felt it. But with Nip, I really, 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 really felt this one. Like, I shed tears like Nip was like my dog. Because I felt like he was, you know what I'm saying? Like, he definitely was ahead of his time. You feel me? Like, mentally, musically, just everything. Like, he was ahead of his time. Like, but he is an example of what, like, what I represent. Like, bro, like, to come from harsh circumstances, like, most people do not make it out of. Like, the outcome of his situation is the way he went out. Like, death, fool, it's always violence. It's always jail. Mm-hmm. It's always, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's always a painful way, you know what I mean?
Right.
And for him to have to go out like that after living a life that he lived, and the message that he had, and the way he inspired people, bro, it just was fucked up, you know what I mean?
But, yeah, and just hearing how, like, you know, he had the STEM program and everything, and then he was... This man was about to have a VC, a venture capitalist company. Like, this man was going to be investing in so many other
companies. So much shit. He about to open hotels, casinos in Vegas. Like
it was...
He an entrepreneur, you know what I mean?
It was just, like, ridiculous. Because, like, I remember when he first came out, like, 06, 07. Yeah. I thought... He was a fake Snoop Dogg. I knew I was the only one, but then I started listening to his music, and I'm like,
peeped the message behind.
Damn! And then the final album he had,
Victory Lap.
I'm like, damn! Like, this man knew what he wanted to do. He had a goal
the whole time.
It's like, you know what they say, like, you gotta. You can't skip a goal. You gotta like take one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was literally doing it. Like, he was just like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. All right, cool. I got those out of the way. What's my next
move? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just dope.
He moved like a business. Mm-hmm. And like, that's how I do it too. Like, I've been that way. Like, you have to though, because this your store.
Right.
This music is my store. Like, YouTube and iTunes and all that, those are my stores. Like, that's my storefront. So I treat it as such, and I move a certain way. I don't do certain things. I don't, you know what I mean? Just because, like, a boss don't. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta move a certain way. And Nip was definitely like that for me. Like, he always inspired me. And I remember when he came out just like that, too. And, like, it was always about a marathon. It was always about something continuing, always about setting goals and hitting them, you know what I mean? And not stopping after that, you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's a mindset we all need to have with everything we do, because Like, you definitely running a race in this life, bro. And it's never over, even after you gone. Look how he gone now. And his music is even bigger. His companies is even bigger. He went out with a bang. He touched that many people, you feel me? He had a funeral at Staples Center. You feel me? A gangbanger, bro. Like, if you break down Nipsey's life, it's crazy. And I remember along the journey of dropping Victory Lap, when he was going through label issues and the stresses of an artist, he was saying that was going to be his last album. You know what I'm saying? And it's power in words, bro. Like, your words, like, that tongue is the strongest muscle in your body, bro. Like, it's the truth, and it's power in your words. You know what I mean? You got to watch what you say and how you say it and mean what you say. And Nipsey was a mean what you say type of guy. Like, everything he did, he talked about it before in his music. So to be able to bring it to fruition is trill, man.
And
you gotta be knowledgeable, though. You gotta get in these books. You gotta read the certain things. And that was
another thing, too, because when Nipsey, when he passed away, it made me appreciate the people that's alive.
Hell yeah.
Like, you know, you have people like the 2 Chainz, the Jeezys, the Jay-Z's, we can name them all that's here that did pretty much the same thing, like, you know, the Diddy's and stuff like that, that's on the better of the community. And then, 2, I feel like he saved lives, pretty much. Like, he actually made people think, like, damn, you know what? Maybe I want to, you know, invest in this. Or maybe I just want to open up something. Or maybe I just want to do something that I always wanted to do, but I was afraid to do.
Never did it,
You know what I'm saying? So, just, like, it's crazy, like, how, you know, someone influenced, like, I knew people, like my wife, she didn't listen to his music like that. I put her on.
True shit.
And she was telling me, like, when he passed away, like, that shit made her feel, like, you know, crazy.
It's real, fool. It's real. Like, it's power, man. Mm-hmm. This music really got power. Like, I be having people telling me certain songs of mine made them go to work today, or made them go to school today, or changed their mood. Like, this music is frequencies, and, like, we all are literally vibrations, you know what I'm saying? And music is disrupting vibrations. It's going through what's already happening.
Yeah, like, so, even look at when Matt passed away.
Yeah, that shit hurt. That shit was tough, too.
You know what's crazy? He died the day of my wedding.
Damn.
Like, we was on our way to the church. It was me and my homeboys, my best friend. He was the best man, and my homeboys one of the grooms. And they was like, Matt Miller passed away. I'm like, what? I'm like, this man trying to take away my shine and stuff. Like, I was sad because, like,
it's Matt, the worst time.
Matt and X2, he was, you know, he was young and stuff like that. But he was talking about, like, you know, mental health and stuff like that. Like, a lot of people before then, they didn't really, you know, touch on mental health like that. Like, a lot of people thought, like, talking about mental health was like a weakness and stuff. But they don't know that. A lot of people, you know, had to fight.
Be dealing with it.
Depression and anxiety and all that stuff. Like, it's just crazy, man, how music can really make you feel good.
Shit, and it's sick, too. Like how you said, you getting married on one hand and somebody passed away on one hand. I remember my niece was being born, and this is, like, the first baby in our family. At the same exact time, I was in Texas at Austin, South by Southwest, walking into a Sway interview. Like, at the same exact hour, same minute, my sisters, they calling me, your sister about to have a baby, shit. And I'm over here, and it's like that. Life is a split-second thing. Like, as somebody's dying, somebody's being born, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, I don't know, to get a grip on it, I be trippy. Like, I be going, I remember one day I was on Google, and I was just looking up how much people in the world and checking the population, and I peeped, they got a population clock. Like, I never peep, but if you go online and it's it's ticking, bro.
That shit crazy.
It's moving, like, literally, if the camera can see this, it's moving. That means somebody's dying and somebody's being born. Like, it's telling you, births today and deaths today. You feel me? And it's moving, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It could be either one of us at any moment, bro.
Any
moment, bro. So it's like, I used to sit and just every 5 seconds or every day, I just pull that sub up and look at that, like, shit is really crazy. It's really moving, and it's not gonna stop for you.
I always felt like, you know, it's certain careers that you gotta be, like, kind of heartless in a way, because, you know, when you show me that, people, like, for example, like, all right, like, people, the nurses, the doctors, the firefighters, the police officers, the the people at the morgue, mm-hmm. you know, people laugh at me, but it's true. You got the accountants, the finance, because, you know, people become broke too as well. Like,
yeah.
People lose their homes. Like, you have these careers where it's like, damn, like, you either got to see someone pass away, die, people lose money, they food from the table, and, like, you got to be, like, shit, like, you gotta be heartless in a way, because yeah, you don't want to
be cold.
You don't want your emotions to get attached. You know, like, my best friend, he a firefighter, and he was telling us about a story, like a story that happened where a child had passed away from a car accident. And I was like, damn, like, that shit crazy. That
hurts,
you know what I'm saying?
To him, he was just,
yeah.
You got to, because at the same time, they got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? It's like, yeah, you're a human. You got compassion. You got a heart. You feel me? But as a firefighter, you got to save a life. As a doctor, you got to save a life.
Yeah.
As a cop, you got to protect a life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
even teachers, like,
teachers too, yeah.
They deal with kids that
every
deal,
day.
Yeah,
you're dealing with somebody else's growing human.
Yeah.
You feel me?
And, like, when we was talking about, like, mental health and all this stuff and, like, the struggles at home, like, you... Like, my wife, she used to teach in the inner city at homes, and, like, she'll talk about, like, how, like, kids would come up to her and be like, you know, Miss Fleet, you know, something going on at home and stuff. And, like, she sometimes had to kind of, like, still have the teacher hat on, because it's like, you don't want to be so... You want to be emotionally attached, but not too much, where it get to a point where it may cause you to lose your job.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Where it's not really acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta have a standard, and that's the tough. That's the tough line they walk, bro.
Yeah, man.
It's real. I feel the same way with music too, cause I got an obligation, bro. Like, kids listen to me. My niece listen to my shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta watch what I say sometimes. I gotta watch what I do, cause it's influence, kid. Like, kids walking around screaming Tatiana right now. They don't even know what a Tatiana is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you think? Do you think music is too PC though? Right, since the Rick Ross incident, you know, you talked about,
with
you
the put the
money, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, like as an artist, y'all being more careful with what y'all put in your music, or y'all still trying to be as much real as possible? Because that's, you know, that's why people listen to hip hop.
Hey, the thing about that is, mm-hmm. it's still an art form, you feel me? And some art is ugly, you feel me? But it's storytelling. You know what I mean? Whether it's in the first person or the third person,
mm-hmm.
it's still storytelling. So, like, you just gotta, I guess, be considerate. But most times, niggas don't give a fuck, cause we the wave. Like,
mm-hmm.
as an artist, we telling a story, or we giving the guidelines, or we giving a blueprint with music.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we saying what's going on, like. The same way Ross was talking about putting a pill in somebody's drink, and NWA is talking about fuck the police.
Yeah.
It's an issue. It's two issues.
Right.
But it's honesty. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's honesty. I rather respect honesty. Like, I'm gonna be honest with my music, and if it hurt mm-hmm. somebody, I'm sorry, but it might. Like,
mm-hmm.
everything isn't made to be pleasing to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, everything isn't prepared to be pleasing. Like, every plate don't taste the same. You know,
mm-hmm.
everything got different ingredients to it. So. It just depends on what's
mm-hmm.
going on in the song. Like,
mm-hmm.
of course, Ross line was crazy. It was left field. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like,
it cost him the Reebok, dude. That's why I like.
Of course, but it's still real.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas pop pills, bro. Girls pop pills. Girls request pills.
Yeah, with the Cardi B thing too.
It happens, bro. Like,
yeah,
that's the world you in, though. Watch the world you in. Watch out. You ain't gonna find it if you ain't in the right way. You know, if you ain't there, you ain't never gonna see it. It's gonna be a blind eye to it, you know what I mean? But it's the world, bro. Like, I don't fault Ross for it. That's real. That's what they do. It is what it is. Because at the same time, niggas turn up and party on them same pills. So it's like, damn, you know what I mean? But that's his world, bro. I can't judge him on that. I can't fault him on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Educate me real quick on this, because I never understood the true definition of an industry plant. What is an industry plant? Like, people say, like, oh, Chance the Rapper was an industry plant.
Yeah, you can say, like, they say Chance the Rapper was because he was portraying himself as an independent artist,
mm-hmm.
but had huge backing behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, so they say, I don't know for sure, because I'm not into Chance as much as the next person, but, mm-hmm. You would say something like a Young Dolph situation. Right. Young Dolph was saying he was independent for years, and then he just got on Twitter one day and was like, he been had a deal. He wish he could have sold y'all, but oh well, he finessed it, whatever.
Yeah.
That could be an industry plan. Industry plan is just like, you know, somebody who's finessing as something they're not. You feel me? Like, they finessing it. Like, you don't trap, but you rapping about trapping because it make, like, it makes sense.
So, do you consider Future one? Because he talked about he don't really do the drugs and stuff like that, but...
But Future misunderstood. When he said that, he was saying at the time he wasn't on heavy drugs. But at a time, he was on the drugs he rap about. So,
he still,
that ain't fronting. Like, if you really was on that, like...
Yeah, because when you think about it, Future, I feel like Future, you know, he's a storyteller, so he talk about it as like how he was on it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So you can't really knock
so you don't know when it's happening. And then a guy like Future, he makes so much music. Who knows when he recorded that song that he talking about that, you feel me? And then it's, like I said, a reflection of the culture, too, like... Yeah, he making all this drug influenced music, but yo, the crowd is drug influenced. You feel me?
Yeah.
The whole crowd on these pills. Like every girl, if you meet people every day, and every day they telling you what drug they on, and one day you hear a beat, and it's like, damn, I could talk about that right quick. Hop on that subject. You feel me?
Yeah, because
it works,
especially down here in Miami. Like the white folks, especially, you know what I'm saying? Like they be on it. So if I was a rapper too, I'd be like, man, I ain't gonna lie. Like, I'll speak on that experience of I had a friend or whatever that was on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could. That's why I like. I don't know, man. That's why I asked earlier. Like, do you think like it's too like PC? Because it's just like you can't. I always felt like a rapper should always rap about what he done, what he seen, what he witnessed, what he feel, you know, like to keep it interesting. Like I don't smoke weed, but I can listen to Wiz Khalifa all day.
All day, yeah.
Cause I tell people all the time, like, Wiz Khalifa give me that high. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it rub right off. Energy, bro. It's the same as if you was talking to him in person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I smoked weed with Wiz in person in the club before.
How was that?
That was dope as shit. It was in Magic City in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We was the only two in the club still. They closed the club. It was just us and me, my dogs, and him. And we was smoked out. That shit was amazing. That's when he first dropped KK, too. So that weed was hitting. But it's like that, though. Like, when you could be able to, like, translate yourself through the music like that and, like, straight to the listener's ear... That's what the music do. It's just like a song don't even need lyrics. A beat of a drum could get you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you feel it. Music is a feeling. And like with me, I get up, I'll be in the studio, I'll hear a beat, and it make me feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, what does this beat make you feel like? It make me sad. It made me happy. It made me think about girls. It made me think about weed. Alright, let's embellish on the idea. Let's just keep thinking about more stuff, putting out more ideas of it. And as you do, you warp into that whole category of whatever you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody else who ever felt something of that nature is gonna feel it.
Yeah.
Like, they say sex sells. Why? Because everybody got hormones. Like, we all want it. We all, you know what I mean? We all attracted to someone else. So when that music come out and it's a sex song, a R&B song, a sexy song, like, it's instantly relatable across the map to every race, every kind of person who can understand what's going on in the song. You feel me?
And I think that's why, you know, like, artists like Cardi B and what's the name of the girls again? We were just talking
City
about
Girls.
The City Girls, like, especially the City Girls. Like, I ain't gonna lie.
Authentic.
I told my wife and I told my homeboy, like, I ain't gonna lie, when I heard the City Girls, they reminded me so much of Trina that like I started to feel, I like, damn, I ain't gonna lie to, you know what I'm saying?
They like offsprings of Trina.
Yeah, so like even with them, like they're in the era right now where, you know, like you say, sex and sales is high. So it's like a lot of, especially women, listen to the. So like that's
it make an average girl feel like a bad bitch.
Right.
You feel me? Like that's in itself is very marketable.
Yeah.
And then they're the only female group. Like when you're the only of something, like you're gonna get it. They raw and they really represent Florida. Like you can't be mad. Like when I know a lot of people be bashing them. You feel me? And that's because they different and they raunchy and they don't give a fuck. But bro, I know like 30 girls. Man, I know about 100 something girls exactly like them from here. So you can imagine state to state. Mm-hmm. You feel me? There's a city girl in every state.
Right.
So you can't be mad that they making it happen the way they doing it, bro. Like, even with JT locked up, Young Miami still holding it down heavy.
Holding
you feel
down
me? Down. So it's because it's authentic. It's real. You feel me? Like, you can't deny no realness, man.
No, you can't.
You
man.
Can't.
That's why with them, like, I appreciate them so much because they showing the image. They showing that side of Miami. And that, you know, these women down here, you know, they bad. They very
that.
Aggressive.
They'll people, step on your neck.
Yeah, people don't realize, too, like, you know, with me growing up, especially, and especially when I started getting to women, I start noticing the women are more the players than us. Like,
oh,
yeah. They're holler ass shoes.
Females. Females could do anything good.
Yeah.
So if a female put her mind to it, she could do anything good. So, and they gonna do it better than you, low
right.
key. Or they gonna know how to at least. You feel
right.
me? Like, it's just a power that women have. Like, they give life. So if you could give life, you could do a lot, bro. Like,
limited,
think about it that way.
Like,
you know,
limited wealth.
Yeah, they right. got it. So, shout out to City Girls. They lit.
Shit, I heard. Hopefully, y'all don't have a track together yet.
No,
or?
Not yet. Eventually, it'll happen. We from the same stomping grounds. We be in the same, you know what I mean? It'll happen.
Shit, let me know, boy. Let me know. So, like, I got a few more questions left for you. So, like, I'm going to go top five moments, you know, in your career so far. What have been, like, your top five moments so far?
Top five moments, going on Sway in the Morning in New York. That was dope.
How was Sway, like, in person? Like, how was
Sway always cool. I met Sway probably, like, 10 times in my whole life, bro. I've been around him. Mm-hmm. Every time he come to Miami, he hit us up. We link mm-hmm. with him. He just dope. Like, Sway understands, like, if he see you grinding, he gonna try to help you.
Mm-hmm.
He saw that we was the type. Like, when we met at South by Southwest early mm-hmm. on, he was doing the show every day
mm-hmm.
that of South by Southwest. And it was, like, 5 in the morning, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we was out there 5 in the morning every time. And he respected that, you feel me? And he never forgot that. And every time he came down, he showed love. And every time we was in the same cities, he showed love. Mm-hmm. Till we went to New York. And we got on the show for real, you know what I mean? So, that was dope. Getting my song in the movie was dope. Moonlight.
Yeah.
That's automatic. That might be the number one. Going to Europe.
Damn, how's
that
Europe,
was dope.
Man? How's
dope, Europe is big as fuck. Like, it feels like you're in the other side of the world, really.
Yeah.
Like, it literally feels exactly like that. It's clean as hell. It smells different. The food different. The people different.
Mm.
The language different. So it's like so much barriers, but it make you wanna like explore the whole thing. You feel me?
Mm.
It's so historic. So many landmarks. You know what I mean? Like that you only see in books or you only saw online or you know what I mean? To see it in person is big. So it gave me a different energy, a different look at life. Like just to be able to know like it's such a big world, bro.
Mm.
Like. Every time I go on a plane, I feel like that, though, just looking down at the world.
Yeah,
like,
just,
we so small, bro. Like,
when
you really look at the grand scheme of things, we really are a grain of salt.
Yeah.
We nothing. Like, this world's so big. And to be able to travel, like, it always opened my eyes and opened my mind to more.
Mm-hmm.
What that was, three?
Yeah, you got two
more. Performing at Rolling Loud.
How's that? I've never been on Rolling Loud.
Yeah, that was big. Shout out to Dope E&T. Them boys been holding it down. Years they've been putting me on stages, like opening up for big artists. So to be able to do Rolling Loud in Miami on such a big level, like at the stadium, you feel me, 60,000 people.
That was I feel like that. Even though I'm not gonna lie, Rolling, I don't really consider like Rolling Loud like our festival, because I feel like we still need to bring like our own.
Mm-hmm.
But
what do you mean? As far as
like hip hop, like, cause you know
it is hip hop though.
I know, but like that's considered our own. Cause Rolling Loud be everywhere though. I'm talking about.
But
like,
it's homegrown. It's from here, and them you gotta respect them boys because
they from
here.
Oh okay, yeah.
Them boy Matt and Tarif are from here. Them boys are from here. They might not be black, but they from here. You feel me?
Cause like
I rock with them boys because they the thing that they did that was raw on them building up. They were always. The tour agents that up-and-coming artists and even big artists like Currency, Wiz, everybody. The same people you see on Rolling Loud, like as far as the lineups, they have took those people up and down Florida. Tampa, Orlando, Tallahassee, all of those. Like, they always had tours that they picked up artists and brought them out. And I opened up in Orlando for them. I did a few, so
you put me on game because Rolling Loud was in Florida, but I didn't know they was from like Miami.
Yeah, it started in Miami. It was in Wynwood first, and it was 7,000 people. And then they went to California, and they went to everywhere. They bounced around. Now they in Australia. They're doing Europe, New York, Northern California and Southern California. Yeah. They just did that, but them. Dopey and Tia themselves was doing tours for years. Dopey, and then Rolling Loud came around, and that's on their fifth year. Yeah. And they the biggest thing. Dog, they biggest. Dog, they last the year I performed, they were the only festival that had those monitors at the same time. They had the two of the world's biggest monitors at the same time at a festival. They had one here at one stage, one at the next stage, and one at the next stage. Like, no other festival was doing that. And these is guys from here.
That's crazy,
fact that it's like the lineups be ridiculous. Like, yeah, it's a lot of rappers, but it's a 3-day festival. You know what I mean? And it is like
different sounds, different.
South Florida didn't really have festival culture for hip hop. We got Ultra, we got reggae festivals that
Ultra,
happen.
That's like, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
We got those, but we didn't have a hip hop one. And then Rolling Out became the biggest hip hop one.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's a homegrown thing, that's huge, you feel me? So that's definitely top five for me.
Damn, that's, so I feel good to
you. They're big, but people don't know that because it's like homegrown. Actually, like, you gotta be into the artists they bringing out. The artists they bring out on their stages, in a few years, they're gonna be number one artists.
Right.
Yeah, it's always been like that. Travis Scott, Playboi Carti, A$AP Rocky, like, they did it with all these artists coming up. Currency, Wiz, Freddie Gibbs, all these artists, you feel me? They'll put you up on dudes that came from the blog culture, the underground culture, that broke into the mainstream. And Rolling Loud is like a bridge of that now because, nigga, I'm sharing the stage with Lil Wayne, bro. Like, same night with Dipset. You feel me? Like, that's, you can't even, I don't know.
Shout out to them. Yeah. Man, I apologize. Yeah, actually, reach out to them too. They told me to come on the podcast. They told me they'll let me know and stuff. But I like, man, I made it since y'all boys, if y'all even, like, responded.
You have to do it with them boys.
Yeah.
So you can hear their story in full. Like, I've known them for a while, but I don't even know their story all the way. I just know them off of just working with them year to year, you feel me? Like, I opened up for Currency for them. I opened up for Denzel Curry for them before. Like, Dope and T been doing this, so, like, I respect them heavy, heavy. What's my last one, dog? I need a fire one.
I know it's a lot, man. I might have that Wiz Khalifa moment as a sixth man.
I'm gonna let that be the fifth one. Wiz is dope. Like, that's another dude. Like, I've watched him do it. You feel me? Like, I watched him go from a big label to not being on a label, doing an indie, to signing a bigger deal, to going crazy. Like, Wiz, I think Wiz got the number one song on YouTube still. It's still going up, like 13 billion or something views. I don't know. Like, Smoking Weed with Wiz in Magic City. That's the fifth one. We rounded out like that.
So y'all was smoking weed and eating chicken and stuff like that?
We was vibing, nigga. I had my merch at the time. I had the 305 hats.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I gave
him
one.
We gonna bring those back.
I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about different merch that I wanna drop again. I'm gonna do some shit. I'm definitely gonna do some shit, some new shit. I'm gonna drop them again soon. So I can always make them. That's the raw thing. You own your patent.
Yeah.
You can always make it. So that's amnesty shit. You feel me? Shit I learned from people like that. So I ended up giving them a hat that night. I posted it on Instagram, yo. To this day, I haven't had a post go crazy like that, dog. Like, by the time we got to the hotel, I had 800 views, 800 likes. Bitches going crazy. I'm like, yo, how is this shit trending like this? Like, where are these people coming from? Like, my Instagram was loaded that day, bro. Shout out to Wiz. Wiz would go, and that KK was smoking. And I smoked that before it was legal in the streets.
Now, like, dude. I want to talk about that a little bit before the last, the top five rappers.
All right.
What you think about, like, you know, medical marijuana now is legal down here in Florida? Do you see yourself, like, investing?
Hell yeah, I want to. I'm happy that it's finally legal and accepted now.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was all the way recreational, but I know that's going to take time. It took Cali a decade or more.
Yeah, it did.
So, the fact that it's being accepted now, you know, cannabis got a lot of, like, of course, we smoke it for leisure for the most part, but that's how it started for me. But I realized, like, I got a song on the tape. It's called Save My Life. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about how weed saved my life, literally, because so many situations I could have been in, mm-hmm. I wasn't in because I was high. I was chilling. I wasn't right. on that. I was calm. I was able to compose myself. I didn't let myself get angry. And it's literally the weed. Like, we do it. It's a nerve calming drug. Like, it's not even a drug to me. It's an herb. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact that it's being accepted the way it is now, it's medicinal. Mm-hmm. It has so many health factors that it's good for. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's getting accepted in Florida finally is amazing, because I know it's mad people that don't get it. Like, the pharmaceutical companies do not want weed to be legal because it's going to take away all the other medicine mm-hmm. out there. It's something that can heal cancer. Like, it can fix people. You know what I mean? Like, so they don't want it to be legal. So the fact that it's happening is dope, bro.
But let me ask you this question, because, you know, I say I don't smoke or whatever.
You should, but it's
but I
good.
Believe in the medical.
Yeah.
I believe in the same, like, for anything. Do you like, for example, like, I always felt like, you know, liquor is not for everybody. You mm-hmm. think weed is not for everybody? Because some people, I be looking at, like, it can't be for you. Because I feel like...
Yeah, because everybody's so different. I mean, honestly, weed is for everybody, dog. Because mm-hmm. in a way, like, if you can't smoke it, you can eat an edible and feel the same effects.
Right.
What THC does to people, it can be accepted to anyone. Not kids, but anyone. You feel me? At the right age. But, like...
It was strange when I went to California. They were like, "Don't smoke and drive." I'm like, "Damn."
Yeah, like, in some places you can't smoke at.
And like, I remember Florida now, they low key trying to come out with
crack
the commercials.
Down on it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just something you definitely got to do in moderation. What I tell people is, like, what I did, like, I tried a lot of different weeds, so I found my favorite kinds of weed. Mm-hmm. I know what they all do to me. I know the effects of them. It's just like any other herb. Like, they all have different effects, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And cannabis is just different because there's so many strands.
I kind of feel like that way with tobacco. I feel like tobacco at one point was, like, the safest. You could, like, do it, but now I feel like they put so much stuff
so
into
much chemicals, yeah.
Same thing with, like,
and that may happen with the weed, because it gets regulated, you know what I mean, when it's in dispensaries. Like, it doesn't go over a certain percentage of THC, you know what I mean? But I know growers. Like, I know dudes that make insane weed, bro. Like, one hit and you feel like you smoke three joints.
Yeah, because that's, you know what I mean? That's what I like. You know, I was talking to my mom about it, and I was like, never smoked it, but I would invest in it because I do so much research on it.
Yeah.
Like how it really do it, cure cancer, and also make people feel, you know, feel calm.
Yeah, calm,
like,
or
that.
Euphoric, or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if everybody woke up in the morning and just smoked a joint before they walked out of their house, mm-hmm. the world would be a way better place.
Mm-hmm.
So much different things will happen because of just the fact that everybody high, bro. Like,
right.
people think it's just a sit on your ass and be high laughing. Nah, that's not
weed.
But
that's why,
like,
I say, that's why I say
it's
I
misconceptions.
Feel like, but that's, like, why I feel like some people ain't. You say it's for everybody, but I feel like some. It's probably like a small percentage of people.
You know why I say it's for everybody?
What?
Because I smoked with damn near every kind of person. You feel me? And it's not like I even tried. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'll be out and the weirdest people, like the most odd kind of people you would not even expect, bro, like, will just come up, bro, can I hit that, bro?
Yeah.
Let me hit that joint, bro. What you smoking, bro? Let me hit that. And then the conversation afterwards is always something I walk away with so much game from.
But what you said is true, though, earlier when you was like, weed brought you, it connected you with so many
mad
people.
People.
Because I tell people all the time, like, the millionaires and the billionaires, they be doing something.
Fam.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody smokes weed. Everybody. People you wouldn't even expect. And it is, I feel like if you can handle it, do it. Some people can't handle everything, bro.
Right.
Like, it's definitely something you gotta take your time and research and see what it is and see what it could do to you. Because, like I said, there's so many strands. Like, you can smoke OG and feel like this. Smoke sour and feel like this. Smoke purple and feel like this. So it's different, but you just gotta know what you're doing, really, and find your preference. I feel like it's for everybody because it grows. It's like a vegetable. It's like, it's a fruit. It's a plant. It's a mineral. It's for everyone. It's from the earth. How could it not be for us? Like, it's for everyone, bro. Like, the same way you make tea, Mm-hmm. And certain teas are for the throat, like if you got a sore throat, or certain tea are for the calming. Certain tea can make you go to sleep, like, instantly. Certain tea can wake you up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same thing with weed. There's weed that could fix an empty, a rumbling stomach. Like, if you feel like your stomach hurt, you can smoke certain weed and it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. If you can't sleep, there's weed that can make you sleep. If you need to stay up, there's weed that can make you stay up. So, what is it that you need? Like, it's for anyone. Put anybody on the table. Tell me what's wrong with you. What do you need? Not gonna give you a weed for it. You feel me? So I definitely feel like it's for everyone, because that's how much variety it is. You feel me? Just as much variety as there is of humans, right, is that much weed. So why wouldn't it be for everybody? I could find a weed for you, bro. Like, if you don't feel like you smoke for whatever, why don't you smoke?
For me?
Yeah.
Nah, man, because honestly, I had a brother. Pounds of weed and shit. I was like 15, 16 years old. And like, you know, I seen what it do to him and shit like that. And like, I always tell my wife, like, you know, when I was in the studio with artists and stuff like that, like, it smelled good after a while. Mm-hmm. It smelled good after a while. I started just getting headaches and shit like that.
That's that secondhand.
Yeah, so
it's your body wanting to be high and you fighting it. You hit that J, that headache is gonna go away, and you're gonna be in a whole nother state.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just like.
But it, I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, I really don't force weed on people, because I like weed so much, I'd rather smoke it all. Yeah. But I know when people come around, they want to hit the joint. Yeah. They hit that joint, and then you know.
Yeah, nah, I'm just a vibing person, bro. Like, I tell people my heart all the time. If I feel some type of way, like, I just play video games or I eat, you know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. I always felt like people...
Video games and eating, by the way, on weed is 20 times better. Just throwing that out there. It is.
Yeah, I hear stories about that all the time, dog. Like, it's just... I don't know, man. I feel like sometimes, like, I can just be high off my own.
For sure. The natural high be the best high. Like, yeah. I don't have to smoke weed.
Yeah.
But I love it. I just choose to. So, and it's there. It just keeps growing.
Yeah.
This shit don't stop. So, of course, I'm embellishing it. But waking up in the morning sometimes, just sitting in the sun will charge you up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
But I think what just like with wine, like, people don't understand, like, wine actually, it helps you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I guess growing up,
it's good for the heart. Yeah, good for the blood. Yeah.
So, like, people always have, like, the stigma of, like,
but too much of it is no good.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation, bro. Like, everything. Anything. Too much of anything is bad.
So, that's why, like, growing up, like, I had the mindset, like, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, blah, blah, blah. As I got older, you know, it's like, all right, like, for marijuana, I'm like, marijuana could cure, like, cancel, so many shit things like that. But I think mine, because I had, when I was at Broward College, I had like this assignment I had to go against, you know, marijuana and stuff like that. And it was very hard for me to find the shit, but I found it. And it's pretty much the same thing you said, bro. Like, you can't do too much, because certain people, if they do it too much, like, they could really, like, get migraines and shit like that.
Yeah.
But that's for anything, so.
Yeah. And then I think also, like, it definitely has a misconception to it because of what law and government made it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, over time, even since, like, the 60s and 70s to now, like, there's so many misconceptions about it. People think it make you crazy, make you do this, make you do that. Back in the days, racist people thought it made white girls love black guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, you can look that up. There's news articles about it. It's like... It just was a misconception to it. So it throws a lot of people off the first look. You know what I mean? Like, even my parents, like, they blow up about it. They think it, like, at first they didn't know what it was about. They didn't get it, so they didn't like it. You know, now they realize, like, bro, he been high since high school. He ain't never been to jail a day in his life.
Right.
He never, you know what I mean? Like, it's just different. But I don't know. I know my music influences a lot. And I can't help it, because I make the music of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in the studio, I'm always burning, so it's going to influence, it's going to leak straight through to the music. But in all actuality, weed is about good vibes. Like, if you look at Bob Marley's music, Wiz Khalifa's music, Snoop Dogg's music, it's vibes. If you go to their shows and sit in their shows, you're going to get high, like, secondhand.
That's what I said, like, I would say that. Like, I tell people all the time, like, even though I don't smoke, I'd rather be around people who smoke and people who drink.
Yeah, because drunk, being like drinking, bro, like going from tipsy to drunk to not being able to control yourself is whack. Feel me? Like, I don't care to drink. I mean, I be going months without it, but in the lifestyle I live, it's kind of hard. It's always a party. It's always a celebration. Yeah. So, of course, toast to good life, you know what I mean? But drinking ain't the same as smoking. Like, you get behind the wheel of a car and you could change everybody's life, bro, like, off of a drink. So, like, nah. And alcohol, I feel like it's one of those things that's planted into communities, though. Like,
yeah, like, you was talking about, like, how, like, you notice in every, you know, hood, it's a gun store. Tons of
gun store, liquor store.
Pawn store, liquor store.
And like a church.
Church, yeah.
Yep.
it's ridiculous,
in that order.
Yeah, man, that's crazy, dog. And then, who's your top five artists of all time?
Artists of all time.
I'm like the, I used to say like
hip hop, but not artists.
Yeah, cause like when I usually ask like hip hop artists, they be like, nah, artists, cause they have like different.
I like that. I like that. It ain't hard to say. Michael Jackson,
right?
Bob Marley, Tupac, Jay-Z, cause he still is just amazing. Mm-hmm. How many is that?
Four.
Let me see who I like a lot. I feel like Jimi Hendrix.
A lot of people
changed the game.
You know how like Lil Nas X is out with the country and stuff like that. I mean, like Jimi Hendrix, that was rough.
Yeah,
like he
changed the guitar.
Yeah, that was our music, though. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that was our music. Mm-hmm. Like, rock was like our thing, but then you see like Lil Nas X, and then like, you know, you see some of our people talk. I think it's dope. I feel like,
yeah, I love it. I love
it. You know what I'm saying? I just feel like
it's the same thing when Nelly did the country.
Yeah.
When Wayne did the rock. Like, it's music, bro. Like, if you confine yourself to one lane, you're gonna be stuck there. You feel me? You put yourself in a box, you're gonna be stuck there. But we can make anything. Like, we, like, especially hip hop, cause it's freestyle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, any beat could come on and I could rap to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'ma find a vibe. You know what I mean? Like
Miami hip hop. Shit. Even, I could say even New York and LA was influenced by disco.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Heavily.
Disco was one of the tools.
And then look at jazz.
Yeah, jazz.
You feel me? Like, it's deep, bro. Music raw as hell, though. Shout out to Africa.
Yeah, man.
And the beat of a drum.
Yeah, bro, that's where it all started at. Right then. So, for the last question is, where you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
5 to 10 years from now, I'm definitely gonna be a way bigger artist, man. The way music is moving now is so fast and so random. Like, in 5 years, bro, I could be touring the world. I definitely wanna be charting heavily. I wanna be deeper into the movies, deeper into the film and the TV industry.
Do you see yourself like creating like movies or?
I see myself definitely like directing, because I do directing on my videos most of the time. I come up with some of the ideas and I sit with the director when they edit in, like when Luke is doing his thing. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to be behind it on that sense. Definitely storytelling and coming up with stories. I like doing that, so I could do that too. But
wait, so Uncle Luke direct your stuff?
Yeah. Which one you thinking about?
I'm thinking about the, like, Uncle Luke.
2 Live Crew?
Yeah.
No, hell no.
It's a director called.
Yeah, my boy Uncle Luke from North Miami. He done did Future videos, ASAP Rocky videos. He did a lot. Like, look him up. But he did most of mine. We grew up together right in North Miami.
That's what's good. I gotta have him in the podcast, man.
Easy. I said that up for you. That nigga did some shit. He did a lot, dog. He did a lot. Yeah. Kanye West's Yeezus album. Bit album that he directed, like that he created, directed with an artist that he rocked with. Literally, Kanye bit it. He sent it to Kanye early. He got proof.
Wow.
Yeah, Kanye bit it. Yeezus sounds exactly like The Wild. Look up The Wild EP and
did
listen
you like
to
Yeezus?
Yeah.
I like it,
but I'm an artist, bro.
Yeah, like,
so like I respect change.
I mean,
and I see the difference in change. You know what I'm saying? Like, Yeezus issued in a lot of distorted music.
Cause I think I liked a couple songs from them. Like the Chief Keef one was like my favorite. But I a lot of artists like, man, you gotta go check that album again. I promise a lot of people, like, when I go to the gym one day, I'm gonna listen to the album.
When I first listen to music, mm-hmm. no matter what it is, I just try to like have no veil over music. Like, I don't know who it is, I don't know what it is, I'm just playing it. I don't care if it's Kanye West, you know what I'm saying? Because I know the power of music for real, like the power in tone, the power in frequency, the power in production, the power in engineering and mastering, you know what I'm saying? So when I hear it, I just try to hear it for what it is, just to see what's going on. And Kanye was in a crazy, wild, dark, loud place at that time, full of static.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what the music represented, you know what I mean? And it's different, but I like it though. There's a few songs I like though.
Cause my favorite album from him is Graduation. But
yeah,
sonically,
Graduation was great.
Dark Twisted Fantasy,
Dark Twisted Fantasy was fucking fire. And 808s and Heartbreaks too.
I actually gotta like really, cause my thing is, as a DJ especially growing up, it wasn't that I was not picky with the album. I wasn't as diverse, you know, 10 years ago, like mm-hmm. 17, 16 years old. I'm like, I want to listen to this, and maybe
and
that.
That. Yeah.
But
yeah.
When you look at 808s and you look at Yeezus, like, he really did. If it wasn't for him and, like, the Kid Cudis and stuff like that,
yeah,
you know, like, you wouldn't really have, like, the XXXTentacion.
Definitely.
Like,
it's so many people. Without Kanye, so many artists wouldn't exist, bro. And that's real, because they wouldn't have nowhere to pull inspiration from.
And that's why I put Kanye in my top 5 or top 10 as an artist.
Artist,
like,
period.
Up,
yeah. Yeah.
He influenced, like...
Fam, when Kanye did the sampling, it was different.
Yeah.
That shit was different. And every time he come out, it's just like groundbreaking. Even Jay-Z said, Kanye the type, he gonna go over the hill first without thinking of what's gonna happen to him, and then he gonna come back and tell everybody what happened.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, if you like that musically, you can't be stopped.
Yeah, because I remember him and Charlamagne had that interview. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite interviews of all time. Like,
yeah.
That shit, like, just to pick his brain still, like, the man's smart. You know,
yeah.
He may do some stuff that's, like,
off the wall, yeah.
But, like, he still got some stuff that, you know, you be like, all right, I understand, like, I want to use it one day. As far as like business
in your own life, yeah.
Yeah, creativity. But that's what's up, man. You got any shout outs before we officially close it up?
Alright, man, shout out to the team, man. Shout out to the campsite. Shout out to Pandemonium. Shout out my boy Dread Zoe. Shout out everybody, man. We doing it big. We just turning up. Shout out my nigga Phil OB. Shout out my boy PB Large. Get that smoke session right now. All my producer homies, all my videographer homies, all my artist homies, you know. Shout out South Florida.
Yeah, man. Philo, yeah. You owe me a damn interview, too.
I can get Philo on the team. Philo is a shaman, man. Mm-hmm. He be in his mountain, he be chilling, you know what I mean? Meditating.
Yeah, yeah, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on the show, dog.
Like, thanks for having me,
it's
bro.
Been a long time coming, dog.
Hell yeah.
Straight up, man. But this be your boy, DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz, Music the Podcast. Episode 80 with Prez P, and we
out. Yes, sir.